This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey,
Neosha Ponder, who is fighting breast cancer and currently undergoing radiation treatment. Neosha.
Senator Cruz, if Obamacare is repealed, is there anything you can do to ensure that provisions are in place so that half of my paycheck won't be spent on health care? I didn't ask for cancer. Yeah. I never smoked. I never drank a lot. I've lived a pretty healthy lifestyle. I fear that if I don't have Obamacare, if I'm not covered, then my pre-existing condition of breast cancer and remaining treatments would make it difficult for me to afford insurance. Senator Cruz, what can you do to protect people like me who are alive because of Obamacare?
Well, Neil, thank you for asking that question. And how long have you been diagnosed with breast cancer?
I was diagnosed on April 25th, 2016.
Oh, wow. Well, you're doing great. You know, our prayers are with you. I'll tell you, my mom had breast cancer. And my mom was diagnosed in 2000. I sat by her hospital bed as she went through two surgeries. And it's a horrible disease. But 16 years later, thank God she is a survivor. And I will tell you, our medical innovation has been incredible dealing with breast cancer. So all of us, our prayers and thoughts are with you.
Thank you.
You know, you asked about people who get sick and not wanting your insurance canceled, not wanting your premiums to go up. That's absolutely right. That is absolutely right. And if you look at every proposal that's been submitted, every significant proposal that's been submitted to replace Obamacare, to fix the problems in the healthcare system after Obamacare has gotten rid of, all of them protect people in your situations. All of them prohibit insurance companies from canceling someone because they got sick. They prohibit insurance companies from jacking up the insurance rates because they got sick or injured. Look, the whole point of insurance is none of us know if we're going to wake up tomorrow, did earlier last year, and discover we have a terrible disease. And we buy insurance, we pay our premiums, just so we know that we'll be able to take care of that situation. So absolutely, we got to fix it, and I'm confident that we're going to.
Ted Cruz last night with Bernie Sanders in a town hall that was carried by and sponsored by CNN, you know, on the topic of Obamacare. And, you know, this is one story of many that Americans are faced with. And, we hear Neo's situation and what, you know, she's facing. And you can't, you certainly can understand and appreciate the question here. And I also appreciate Senator Cruz's response to this, because for some reason, you know, people have projected some sort of, you know, malign perspective on the Republicans and what they're going to do. I mean, in repealing Obamacare, you know, that you want to take a second pass at, hey, it's been out there. The standard has kind of been set, and it's one that most Americans say is unacceptable. Okay, so let's fix those issues. We know what doesn't work, and we've got to get all the politics out of it. And, you know, as we've been discussing on this show, and stay focused on what is going to work for we the people. And, you know, and I believe the Republicans, or at least I want to believe, that their intent is such to, you know, to do right by all of us. But this is going to be a process. Are they going to fix it 100%? I don't think so. I think it's unrealistic to think that. But I think some of these obvious things like pre-existing conditions and that, I think the opportunity that we have here is by opening up the door to some free market things that have been traditional here in America, that have proven their value. I mean, it's why we pay a fraction of what we pay for cell phones these days, is because they get it out of the marketplace, they're challenged by the market, you know, the people respond to it, but you've got to open up the power of the free markets into our healthcare system that allows it to be win-win for all concerned. A tremendous opportunity here, but boy, I'll tell you, this is a big project here. that is before this Congress. And, you know, they've got a lot to undo before they can do. And it's going to take some time. So we'll continue to pray and encourage them to make the right decisions on our behalf.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, you know, we want to get America back on track because that's where it works, and that's where, you know, the best of America can happen and be demonstrated, where it is truly win-win for all concerned. So I appreciate you joining in on the effort because, as we've been saying, this is an all-in kind of situation. This isn't a deal where, you know, some of us can kick back and not be involved. But, you know, it's the nature. I mean, that's real. That's going to happen. You know, some people just don't want to participate. But look, the United States is about the United States. It's not about Republicans, not about Democrats. So I encourage you, hey, read up on the Constitution, get involved. We've got some interesting things happening right now, an observation with these district courts and some of these decisions that are being handled. But if you don't understand how your government operates, you don't understand, you know, what that means to you. And in terms of a president's executive orders and in terms of the president's, you know, job one, you know, to protect the national, you know, security of this country. Well, we've got our next guest is Mac Zimmerman. Mac is the Director of Strategic Communications for AFP Americans for Prosperity, and he is running to attach his phone to where he can come on. We're going to talk about the appointment of and the approval, the confirmation of our Secretary of Education, of Betsy DeVos. And then, of course, Tom Price, his confirmation is still pending as well. Mac, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you this morning, Bill?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Great to have you with us here. Betsy DeVos finally confirmed, you know, by the hair on her chinny chin chin, and maybe for those of us that want some options in our educational system, it took the vice president's vote in order to get her over the top.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's unfortunate that it came to that. We're obviously very happy that the confirmation sailed through. I think Secretary DeVos committed a cardinal sin in Washington, which is having the temerity to suggest that our education system exists to educate kids and not to employ bureaucrats and generate union dues for union bosses. And you know, between that and of course the usual Washington dynamic, which is to demonize and ridicule and destroy anybody who dares to offer new ideas or challenge the status quo, you know, made this pretty difficult for her, but she stood on principle. Mm-hmm. And we're very pleased that that lawmakers decided to reject the arguments of a lot of people on the left and to move forward with the nomination.
Well, you know, Betsy DeVos, like what happened in the November elections, and this is a manifestation of that, is they look, you know, people are smart enough to look at the evidence and say, hey, after all these years and all the money we spent, is our education, is the system and the kids that we're putting out, are they better off today as a result of all the money we've invested? And, you know, clearly I think whether it's unions, the bureaucracy of the whole educational system, they're suspect because their numbers do not look good.
Oh, I mean, I think you make a great point. I mean, look, for a long time, and this doesn't just go to the education department, I think. I mean, you see the logic that you just plow more and more money into a failing system that is spending more money than ever before and producing failing results. I mean, you alluded to this just now. I mean, the most recent survey conducted by the National Assessment of Educational Progress shows that 25% of American high school students are ready to tackle college-level work in math, one in four, and only a little over a third are capable of college-level reading assignments. So, I mean, and it's even worse in the inner cities.
I was going to say, you drill that down into Hispanics and blacks, and it is an absolute disaster. And I think this is one of the things that resonated with Black America, with minorities, when Trump said, "Hey, what do you got to lose? Give me a shot at it."
Yeah, I mean, look, in Detroit, 96% of students were not up to speed in math, and 93% fell below par in reading. And I'm sure you've seen some of the stats on a global level too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk about money. You know, the United States ranked 19th out of 35 OECD countries in reading, and 31st in math, which is pretty crazy when there's only 35 countries in the assessment. Mm-hmm. I mean, American students did worse than students in Estonia, which I think a lot of people would have a hard time finding on a map. And when you consider that we spend over $100,000 per student between the ages of 6 and 15, which is almost twice as much as the money they spend in Estonia per student. I mean, I think you look at that and you can make a pretty, I mean, your average guy on the street can look at that and say, hey, you know, maybe there's not really a correlation between how much we're spending on students and student achievement. I mean,
exactly.
I think Ms. DeVos brings a great breath of fresh air to this debate, and where we can start really taking a look at some of the rhetoric we hear from the left about equal opportunity. I mean, at the end of the day, folks who voted against Ms. DeVos seem to believe more in lifetime tenure and lifetime jobs and poor teachers getting paid regardless of how they're performing, as opposed to actually helping people who are trapped in failing schools and whose life, without school choice is going to be dictated in many ways by what zip code they grew up in. And that's not equal opportunity.
Exactly. Mac, I think of these, not only the kids, but I was just speaking with a retired teacher, a dear friend of mine. And that is the loss of good teachers along the way because of this dysfunctional system. I mean, it probably hasn't been a joy for these teachers and people who, you know, entered the profession thinking, you know, with all the idealism of, hey, I just want to go out and teach kids. And they go in and they find, they run into a system that just puts them through the meat grinder and takes the heart and spirit right out of them. So I think it's a sad commentary on so many levels. And this is an opportunity for parents, for teachers, the profession. I even think for the union itself, for the teachers union, to kind of step back a moment and say, look, we just got a job review here. And we got our hats handed to us. So now what are we going to do? Are we going to be part of the solution? Or are we just going to nag about the problem?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the vast majority of teachers in this country are pretty good teachers, and I think see the problems in the education system and want to see reforms similar to the ones that Secretary DeVos is talking about. But I mean, look, you know, we both pay attention to how the political system breaks down. We know that the radical environmental movement and that public employee unions, particularly the teachers union, are part of a big political machine. And so a lot of the policy decisions get made by people on the left in Washington and frankly in the states who depend on the support of those lobbies. Right. And so they're going to make decisions that benefit those lobbies and those unions and not decisions that benefit kids. And I think a lot of teachers are frankly a little bit afraid to speak up against
them. There's no question.
Because, yeah, I mean, they get ostracized by their colleagues. And
you do that what you get rewarded for. And that is a proven fact, and you're exactly right. And it's a sad commentary that you've got talented people who in the classroom level can make, you know, some brilliant decisions at a moment's notice based on the class that they have to deal with instead of being dictated with a one-size-fits-all type of mentality.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we have a golden opportunity here, Mac, and I hope that Betsy DeVos is given every opportunity that people will come alongside and support an opportunity to bring in some ideas to the front that have been longing to be expressed. And I think this is what she's going to bring to the dance here. So I think potentially it could be win-win for all concerned, but there's no doubt she's got a force to fight against, doesn't she?
Yep, this is just the beginning of the fight. There's a lot of work to do.
Max Zimmerman.
Not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. See website for details.
Need some extra cash today? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If so, turn your radio up. 67cash.com is one of the nation's largest personal loan networks with over 50 different lenders. Now you can get a personal loan for up to $5,000 with any type of credit discreetly from your computer or smartphone and with no paperwork to send in. That's right, no paperwork whatsoever. Your cash will hit your bank account as soon as tomorrow, as our lenders have millions of dollars to lend, regardless of your credit history. Visit 67cash.com and you can have up to $5,000 in no time. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income and you can get the loan you need now. Regardless of your credit, go to 67cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 67cash.com. Type www.67cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 67cash.com. 67cash.com.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly, certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Had it been the sweet Paris air permeating the night? The intoxicating way her beauty had overtaken him? Whatever the case back then, Jordan Dunleavy is still in love with the memory of Lauren, the woman he'd lost so many years before. In Bookstore on the Sen, the journey of a conspiracy analyst, author C.L. Hendman, ties conspiracy theories, mystery, irony, and romance into this stimulating novel that masterfully interweaves the past with the present. Available on Amazon and Kindle and at bookstoreonthesen.com. That's SEINE.com. bookstoreonthesen.com.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the runway? You know, the fun.
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room, weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
From Maine to Oregon and SoCal to Florida, Bill Martinez live. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, ready or not, it's coming. I would say better to be ready than unprepared and be surprised. But it definitely is coming. There's no doubt about it. It's right there on the horizon, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. Hey, you want to know the secrets behind the top news stories, huh? Well, our next guest, Pamela Martin, her new book and series, Waking the Dragon, really opens up some conversation and will open up your mind to what's happening behind what you're seeing. And she says, wake up, America. I mean, her book points out, you know, a book on fiction. This is quite interesting when the intersection of fiction, you know, meets with reality. And this is what seems to be happening after election corruption, global plots, protests about free speech and gun rights and growing tension between countries, not to mention zip codes here within the United States. Pamela Martin, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm great, Bill. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, good to have you here. Waking the Dragon. I think we've talked about it before, but you know, let's give an idea of what you you know, what the book is about and how it comes into the context of you know, the secrets behind the top news stories.
Well, there's always been plenty of intrigue and corruption, you know, and real-world politics, but I don't think we've seen anything that's resembling fiction as much as we have this year.
Right.
Just not sure if it's going to end anytime soon, but, you know, we've got the attacks on free speech. I mean, look what's happening over at Berkeley.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know? I mean, that's...
Well, things are unhinged, there's no doubt about it, but, you know, this is, I think it's all part and parcel to this information age we live in. And with the information, I think what people are slowly realizing, there needs to come some sense of responsibility. You know, we would hope that journalists would lead the way, and I think this is why they're being so scrutinized right now, is because, you know, we've always looked to journalists to be the standard, to have some, you know, some morals and ethics behind their reporting. But in the age of blogospheres and anybody who has a computer or a microphone, they can start spouting some things and, you know, putting out some fake news. So it's all getting mixed up within the entire context of it all. And I don't blame journalists for, you know, raising their ire and, you know, because their very profession is being attacked. But I think it's an opportunity for them to really, you know, to be accountable and establish some clear-cut boundaries so that there is a clear, you know, delineation between the fake news and the real news, don't you think?
Absolutely. And, you know, there are platforms now that you can turn to. I mean, during the election, we were all turning to social media, which seemed to be giving us more of real news than your, you know, your generalized stations, the MSNBCs and CNNs of the world. And I think they're doing us a huge injustice by not reporting what's real. And, you know, these are things that could affect us or could potentially cause dire issues for us, and I don't think that, you know, we're looking at the end of the tunnel anytime soon. There's just such a convoluted group out there that's not wanting to, you know, release and do it right. It's scary.
Well, you've got groups like, you know, counter groups, as you refer to, Pamela, that really are diabolical. But if you don't have an idea of what's going on in your country, you think it's just, oh, well, it's just, you know, a couple of people that are upset. But you have to look into this a little bit, and most people don't have the time. You know, they tell me, Bill, I'm busy trying to put food on the table right now, and you tell me that I should be looking out at the professional-looking signs and how these, you know, these disruptions are orchestrated and how everybody is dressed in the same outfits, and that a lot of the people that are being arrested, you know, in some cases 9 out of 10 of those being arrested don't even belong to the zip code. They're, you know, they've been transported in. And so, you know, they go, I don't know if I have time for a conspiracy. And you better have time. I mean, and I'm not that I want to get you down a dark hole here, but you better be aware of what's happening in your, you know, if not your country, but your community, because you've got people depending on the hotspots. You know, we mentioned Berkeley. I mean, there are many people there in Berkeley whose head's still spinning going, wait a minute, we've got destruction of property, a misrepresentation of the people here. Yes, we, you know, we're excited about our politics, but, you know, we're not crazy.
Right, exactly. Well, and you know, this is where I came in and wanted to share my knowledge about what's going on in the world. People that I'm around are savvy, but they didn't even know what the Smith Act was. And I think that's what Mr. Trump is actually trying to enforce right now, which most people aren't aware of. You know, this Alien Registration Act, I believe it's from 1940, you know, that hasn't been enforced. And most people aren't aware of the OIC and this whole Istanbul process, which is another thing that's being fought right now in the courts to try to enforce this travel pause. And people just aren't aware of these details that have taken place right under our noses. And you know, these things weren't even approved by Congress. Are you even familiar with Smith Act or what the OIC is doing?
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I am. And the thing is interesting about this, Pamela, is you've got people in Europe who are saying, hey, we like what Trump's doing. You know, can we bring it to Europe? If you guys want to let Trump go, we'll take him. You know, he can run parts of Europe and maybe square it away for us here, you know?
Absolutely. Well, Australia now wants to adapt what we've got going on. And I think it was, what, just last week that they wanted to pawn off a whole bunch of crooks on us. And 2 weeks ago, maybe. Yeah. You know, we're hoping that something's going to give in France. I mean, let's hope Marine is brought in and leads France now, and so that we can try to get some ground back in Europe. It's just, the world is a mess.
Well, we've disconnected from reason. And it's interesting, Pamela, because when you sit down and you talk to people and you go, okay, I'm going to make you king for a day, what would you do? And a lot that they would do, you know, are the logical, reasonable things like Trump's doing. Say, okay, well, if the most important job as president is to protect the national security of its citizens, then let's be about that. Let's do some things. And, kind of ironic with all this stuff that's happening in the marketplace, how particularly people on the left, how hypocritical they've demonstrated themselves to be. But it goes without any kind of accountability.
Right.
And they just keep on going, you know, because nobody is saying, hey, stop, don't say that, because you sound silly and disconnected.
Right. Well, they're not giving him credit for the Trump effect. I mean, the markets have been off the charts lately, and that's a good thing. But, yeah, you have people on that side. They're listening to mainstream media. They're making things up. They're part of the establishment, the swamp, the proverbial swamp.
Yeah.
And we've got a lot of work to do as Americans to get our country back on track and into the right light of, you know, being respected and also revered, feared, and all of that, which we've lost. And I support what's going on right now, and I hope that we can get this pause in place, because it really is a serious situation. And I happen to be out in Los Angeles right now. I'm in California, and
I'm down the road from you. I'm in Long Beach, so hello, welcome to the West Coast. We got a little bit of rain out here.
I'm in Marina del Rey, but
oh, yeah. You're in a high rent district.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah,
but,
good.
You know, still, you know, you drive over to Venice Beach and there's signs that say no loitering, and then there's bums that have moved in underneath the sign. You know, they're humans too, but you've got to put them somewhere. You know, they're not enforcing. And so I'm hoping that California is not going to turn into a bigger mess than what it already is.
Well, it's so messed up. They want to bifurcate into six different states. That's how messed up they are. So, I mean, that should tell you something right there. And I think what you just point out in terms of a sign, no loitering, and you got, you know, people there that are sleeping under the signs. It's like, hey, you can identify the problem, but can you come up with the solutions, right?
Right, and that's a small one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you think. And
yeah,
it's not like it just happened yesterday. I mean, you know, California has been dealing with this for a long time, but but if they don't get a handout from the federal government, I mean, that's their solution. And if they can't find ways to tax the people.
Off.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, because sanctuary cities and states are just so important. I mean, you know, empirically you look at it and they have so much to contribute to the livelihood of, states and local communities, right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Just kidding. Pamela Martin has been with us. Pamela, congratulations on the book. Go to awakingthedragon.us.
Attention, this is a public notice from Citizens Disability. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from physical and mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with Social Security. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. We only get paid if you win your case. There are a number of conditions that can make you eligible for disability benefits, many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. That's 800-989-1396.
Honey, what is that in your CPAP mask?
Oh, that's just my mold collection.
Ew, gross! And what is that?
What, that bacteria colony right there?
Yeah, cool, huh?
Okay, CPAP users, admit it. You're not always as careful about cleaning your system as you should be. Unfortunately, a dirty mask and hose can make you sick. Respiratory infections, allergy attacks, and more. But now there's an easy way to protect yourself. SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of CPAP germs in minutes. For a limited time, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-944-1065. SoClean is hands-free. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP comes out clean and fresh in minutes. Don't let germs wreak havoc on your health. Call in the next 10 minutes for your risk-free trial. 1-800-944-1065. That's 1-800-944-1065.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision and independence to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. It's the leading cause of blindness in adults 55 and older. Some of us are at greater risk for AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD. If left untreated, it can lead to blindness. The good news? With early detection, AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that can reduce or even reverse some vision loss. Learning that you have AMD can be scary, but there's hope and help. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is researching and developing treatments and cures for AMD. To get your free AMD information packet, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. Join the fight against AMD, because together there is a cure in sight.
Hey, DC. There's still such a thing called the Constitution. Remember? Bill Martinez, live.
When I took office, I committed to fixing this broken immigration system. And I began by doing what I could to secure our borders. Today, we have more agents and technology deployed to secure our southern border than at any time in our history. Although this summer there was a brief spike in unaccompanied children being apprehended at our border, the number of such children is now actually lower than it's been in nearly 2 years. Overall, the number of people trying to cross our border illegally is at its lowest level since the 1970s. First, we'll build on our progress at the border with additional resources for our law enforcement personnel. Second, I'll make it easier and faster for high-skilled immigrants, graduates, and entrepreneurs to stay and contribute to our economy. Third, we'll take steps to deal responsibly with the millions of undocumented immigrants who already live in our country. Undocumented workers broke our immigration laws, and I believe that they must be held accountable. That's why over the past 6 years, deportations of criminals are up 80%. Now, here's the thing. We expect people who live in this country to play by the rules. We expect that those who cut the line will not be unfairly rewarded. If you've been in America for more than 5 years, if you have children who are American citizens or legal residents, if you register, pass a criminal background check, and you're willing to pay your fair share of taxes, you'll be able to apply to stay in this country temporarily without fear of deportation. You can come out of the shadows and get right with the law. That's what this deal is. Now, let's be clear about what it isn't. This deal does not apply to anyone who has come to this country recently. It does not apply to anyone who might come to America illegally in the future. It does not grant citizenship or the right to stay here permanently or offer the same benefits that citizens receive. What I'm describing is accountability, a common sense middle ground approach. If you meet the criteria, you can come out of the shadows and get right with the law. And to those members of Congress who question my authority to make our immigration system work better, pass a bill. Now, tomorrow I'll travel to Las Vegas and meet with some of these students, including a young woman named Astrid Silva. Astrid was brought to America when she was 4 years old. Her only possessions were a cross, her doll, and the frilly dress she had on. And today, Astrid Silva is a college student working on her third degree. Are we a nation that kicks out a striving, hopeful immigrant like Astrid? Or are we a nation that finds a way to welcome her in? My fellow Americans, we are and always will be a nation of immigrants. We were strangers once, too.
Well, this was President Obama not that long ago, and you listen to what he shared with us, and you go, well, how is that much different than what Trump is saying? In fact, the president, you know, a few years before that, had looked at some of these countries that were problematic. And the problem is very logical. I mean, to the point that even, you know, as I mentioned earlier, that Europeans are saying, look, you can ignore Trump's leadership, but we're listening. And it makes a lot of sense to us. I mean, they're living it. I mean, they're a lot closer to the problem than we are. You know, it raises its head once in a while. And because it only does it once in a while, and because we've been, you know, a combination of lucky and we've got good people monitoring our national security. I mean, we've got 1,000, something like, you know, 1,000, according to FBI files, open investigations about potential terrorist activity, which is in every state of the union. It's incredible, you know, when you think about the job they're doing on behalf of we the people to protect us. And now we have a president who is being quite vocal and upfront about it and saying, look, we got to do something about it. I'm going to, you know, I just took the oath of office, and it made it real clear that my number one job and mission is to protect and serve, you know, the people of the United States. And national security is a huge issue, and we've dropped the ball, and we need to sew this up a little bit. You know, and you know, along the line, see what people get unnerved about, and, you know, some of the pundits, and of course, certainly the Trump haters, you know, he uses a term like extreme vetting, and they take exception to it, because anything that says extreme, you know, says, okay, are we going too far? But again, what you have to appreciate about this president is he grew up and was nurtured on, you know, on bravado, on hyperbole. And because that's what gets attention. You know, we can't just say somebody is good anymore. We got to say they're great. They're super. We have to, you know, our language is so it's so alive and dynamic that things that were acceptable to say 5 years ago are no longer acceptable. They're just, you know, it's minimal. So nothing is really good, because you always got to have something that's better than good. So it's super good, or it's, you know, it's fabulous. And so you listen to this president, and people always kind of chuckle about and will mimic some of the words he says. This is what he's been raised on. He's a product of our culture, and he's handled it very well. He's a smart guy, and look what he's been able to do as a result of it. So, and now all of a sudden we get him in here and we say, oh, we don't want you to talk that way. Well, come on, this is who he is. You know, he uses, you know, Twitter. This is why Twitter is so effective tool for him, because it's right up his alley. It rhymes with his reason, and everybody wants to be so sensitive about it. But, you know, all that set aside, and this is what hopefully we can do, is set some of that, you know, that stuff that doesn't fit with us in our perception of what we think and what the mainstream media would think that a president looks like. Well, Donald Trump's outside of the mold. I mean, come on.
You know, quit trying to put a round peg in a square hole. Donald Trump, fortunately, is a strong enough individual. He's going to be true to himself. And in the long run, we'll be grateful for that. But, I am grateful that he's taken a stand on national security issues. And most Americans are. According to Rasmussen, a majority of Americans say, look at, hooray for the president. Keep it up. Keep going. And, this challenge in the court, you know, here it is. We've got one unelected judge who throws a penalty flag and all of a sudden puts a wrench in the system here. Now, that is our system. It can be done, but we're counting on other judges, this Ninth Circuit now, that heard for over an hour the argument, and, there was some criticism about how the president's attorneys represented the case. Could they have done a better job and that sort of thing? But, hey, look, the truth is there. And the facts are the facts. And, either the Ninth Circuit will look at it and say, look, the president, by law, the president did not violate the Constitution. He has every right to protect its citizen. And for them to preempt the president's power here, this opens up a whole nother can of worms in the discussion. I mean, it's a fun conversation, and I think it's good for civics because now we understand a little bit more about how our government should work. And, we'll get through this process, but the majority of Americans are saying, hooray for the president. You know, go ahead and save us, and we're going to do whatever we can. And it might take, relevant to, some of these activist judges, there needs to be some experience that happens within the judiciary that says, look, your job is to interpret, not to create. That's it. You know, there are separation of powers. It was never intended by our founding fathers. It's not even welcome today. We do not want this. It's only welcome by those radicals that want to short circuit the process and say, hey, look, we don't want to do the hard work and take it to Congress and let it go through the process, have it, take years when we can go and, claim some sort of foul and some offense. To the big daddy. We'll take it to the big daddy courts and have them short circuit everything, and we'll let them decide. We'll go find a judge who is in favor that will give us the ruling that we need. This is what's been happening in our country. And so don't be surprised when more things like this come up until, Congress, heeds the warning of then President Obama. Hey, go pass a law. And maybe that's what they need to do, pass a law and make sure it's clear that the judges do what it is that they're supposed to do, and that only. This is Bill Martinez. We're live just about 18 minutes before the top of the hour right now. We've got more coming up right after this.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
Call today.
Have you ever wanted a shortcut to getting the underground secrets to making money online and seriously grow your business? Whether it's a new business, a part-time income, or an existing business, you have this incredible limited offer to get a copy of this Amazon best-selling book on .com success for free. Uncover the success factors to make your business ignite. Go to secretsignite.com. That's secretsignite.com. Get your free copy now. Go to secretsignite.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Did you know there's a new group of water contaminants with unknown health effects? These emerging contaminants lurking in your water may include prescription, over-the-counter drugs, and new types of herbicides and pesticides. ProPure's improved Pro-1 G2.0 filter meets NSF 401 standards to help reduce these emerging contaminants. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Every single day, promoting truth. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, it's how we roll, ladies and gentlemen. It's that important. If you got choices to make, hey, why not? Let's do it based on the facts and the truth as best we know. Just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour, we're fortunate to have Carrie Severino with us right now, Chief Counsel, Policy Director of the Judicial Crisis Network. Carrie, interesting, the name of your group, Judicial Crisis Network. Some would say as a result of the last couple of days, we are in a bit of a crisis here, aren't we?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It used to be harder for me to explain that. now people are like, oh, yeah, we understand.
Yeah,
it's a problem when we've got judges who it looks like are not following the law, but they go with their political leanings, and that's something that happens throughout the country now.
Amazing to me, Carrie, that and here you've had a lot of experience with this, and and you filed briefs in high-profile Supreme Court cases, so you know from whence we talk about here, and that's the constant dynamic tension between judges that want to interpret the law versus what seems to be a little, you know, I guess a little loose and a growing tendency for judges to want to legislate from the bench. I mean, this has been a problem and probably, you know, more dramatically, it seemed to be tilted after Roe v. Wade. What are you saying?
Oh, yeah, I think that was a key decision that's easy to point to and go, you know what? The Constitution doesn't say anything about abortion. Even a lot of liberal scholars who are pro-life admit that decision has no legal grounding behind it, even if they, you know, we wish the Constitution protects this, it doesn't.
Right.
And that's where you have justices who, instead of going, okay, what does the document actually say? What does it require me to do? We're saying, what do I wish was in here? Or what do I think would just be right and just if it were in there? That's not the question, because if you start asking that, everyone's going to have a different gut check feeling of what they think is just and right. And then your politics inevitably do start getting tangled up in there. That's exactly. Not what judges are supposed to be. If that was it, then they would be elected. They're not elected for the reason they're supposed to be doing the job of interpreting the law passed by our elected representative.
Exactly. But that's where, you know, I think Congress needs to step up. I mean, and you would think, you know, people like Louis Gohmert, who was a judge and decided, look, I need to discard my robe. I want to legislate. So I'm going to go and get elected and start legislating. And you would think because of his experience that he would be the poster child or a stronger spokesman and advocate, the judges do their job. And, you know, that there needs to be some sort of, I don't know if you call it a censure, Carrie, you know better than I do, but there needs to be some flag throw down here, some penalty flag thrown on activist judges that decide that on their own they could vacate millions of votes and obliterate the Constitution somehow on their own and make these decisions that I think they're out of their purview, and most people would agree that it is.
Well, I think the American people threw that penalty flag last November. That mm-hmm. was one of the biggest issues that was on the ballot. You had a fifth of the people saying the Supreme Court was their number one issue. That's probably unprecedented that many people thought it was so important. And those people broke decidedly for Trump because they knew the kind of person Hillary Clinton was talking about putting on the court. And she didn't talk about the Constitution at all. She talked about all the agenda items she wanted the court to do for her. Mm-hmm. That's not how we look at the court. I think the American people know that. And they wanted to make sure that this is going to be a judge, frankly, like Judge Gorsuch, who was nominated. I think you couldn't have picked a better judge for being the poster child for stepping aside from politics, deciding on cases based on the law and the law alone. I'm so excited that he's going to be coming up on the Supreme Court.
Boy, that seems to be the clear consensus here, Carrie, regarding Gorsuch. And I want to get more into that. But I want to go back to what you were referring to in terms of Trump. Trump made it clear, and I thought it was a brilliant move on his part, to tell everybody, hey, here's the 20-some judges that you're going to get with me. He put it out there early for people, and boy, that really resonated. And I think that it was probably a move that maybe the Clinton camp said, God, we should have done that.
I think every presidential nominee should do that. Maybe going forward they will. Because think of it, this is one of the most important things a president does. This is someone who's going to be sitting on this court, highest court in the land, interpreting all the laws, interpreting the Constitution for the next 20 or 30 years. I mean, Judge Gorsuch, 49. And we've got Justice Ginsburg there. She's 84. So think if he's on as long as she is, he'll be there over 30 years. That's incredible.
Right. And, Carrie, you know, you think about that we know one already is being replaced. There's probably, you know, a good shot at two more. And if Trump can make it to 8 years, we're talking three appointments, you know, maybe on the outside, a fourth appointment possibly in 8 years. What do you think?
You just don't know. I mean, if Justice Scalia's passing told us anything, it's that everyone's going, oh, Ginsburg is getting old. And you just don't know what's going to happen. But having that list does add a lot more confidence because anyone can get up there and say, oh, I'm going to appoint judges faithful to the Constitution. But until you see that they really know what that means in practice, that they can identify the talented individuals who are serving on our federal and state courts who know how to do that, then you just don't know what you're going to get. With this list, you know what you're going to get, and that is a great bonus.
Well, Carrie, Chuck Schumer refers to his hope to find a judge that is more mainstream. And, you know, I think America hears that and says, well, okay, that sounds kind of reasonable, but what's his definition of mainstream?
Well, his definition of mainstream is appointed by a Democrat. Mm-hmm. So he's just not going to be happy with anyone Trump comes up with. It was great. There was a Wall Street Journal piece that came out today talking about if you want to gauge, is someone mainstream, let's think of a few metrics. Well, what happens when the Supreme Court reviews Neil Gorsuch's opinion? 8 cases they've taken of his. 7 of them, they've upheld him, 4 of those unanimously. So this isn't just, you know, you can get Justice Scalia and Thomas and the conservatives in the court to agree with him. This is Justice Breyer, Justice Ginsburg, the whole liberal wing of the court said, yep, this guy's right. Mm-hmm. He has a very high rate of unanimous decisions on the 10th Circuit. That's a court that most of the active judges are appointed by Democrats. And yet, here's someone who builds consensus, has opinions that are, you know, so far in the mainstream that all of these democratically appointed judges on his circuit are regularly agreeing with him unanimously. So Chuck Schumer is the one here who's out of the mainstream. He just wants to figure out some excuse to hold up, to block, obstruct this nomination. And unfortunately, Judge Gorsuch makes that very hard for him to do with the
group. Well, you got 85% of the people saying, hey, he's our next justice. I mean, those are pretty strong numbers. Number one, unanimously put into the bench here not that long ago, you know, all things considered. So, you know, without a doubt, he is an outstanding candidate. I mean, and you know, it's a hard slog for the Democrats when they're trying to somehow indict him, you know, going back into his past, you know, to see whatever they can find. And, you know, if there's any little bit of a speck or something, I mean, this guy's really being scrutinized.
Oh, it's really nuts. I mean, you've got people like Senator Blumenthal who lied about his Vietnam history, suggesting that, well, yeah, maybe he wasn't involved in the volunteer activities he listed on his resume. Come on.
Yes.
And there are people who say, nope, he was in that club. It's really ridiculous. And what's disappointing is seeing so many senators who ought to realize that it's time to reach across the aisle, like Democrat senators whose states went for Trump. Some of these places, double digits for Trump. Are they really going to just align themselves with, let's just have hyper-partisan obstructionism? We need to move forward as a country. So I hope those senators kind of wise up and get off the Chuck Schumer train, get on the give this guy a fair hearing and a chance. Yeah.
Let's get on the United States of America train, huh? Let's get on something that's going to advance we the people, and as you say, for them to survive. You know, we've got a window here of opportunity. I mean, it's hard to think about. I mean, as quickly as Trump has been moving in his first 3 weeks in the Oval Office, which has been at a rapid speed that has the Beltway's hair on fire trying to keep up with him. The thing is that he has marked time here. I mean, you know, in a couple of years, we're into midterm elections. And so right now he needs to take the most advantage as possible of having both houses and the Oval Office and potentially the Supreme Court. So he can't put his heels on the desk. Not that he's going to be one to ever do that, I don't think.
No, he definitely hit the ground running, but it's so discouraging again to see these partisan rhetoric. They're blocking the cabinet appointments in just unprecedented levels of blocks. We have hardly any people in the cabinet confirmed, where Obama had almost all of them confirmed the first day or so.
Yeah, he had seven.
They're all in.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, it's like they talk about putting your heels up. This is the Democrats with their heels Flintstone style out the side trying to break this this
right.
strain. They just want to do anything they can to stop government to a halt. And that's not what it's supposed to do. You know, that's not going to help the country.
And they're complaining because we do a rollout, which you know, most people would agree, and we needed to call a pause, a timeout, and he doesn't even have his full complement of his cabinet, and there were some critical people missing that could have helped and aided in this whole situation to get the rollout done in such a way that might have minimized some of the friction points. But, you know, I think we're being, you know, maybe overly optimistic in that way, but clearly that sticks out that the Democrats didn't help the cause in this, did they?
They purposely were trying to get in the way. I mean, people like Susan Yates, who are Obama political appointees. So, hey, surprise that she's acting in a politicized way and doesn't want to help President Trump. I mean, and that's precisely because the Democrats have been refusing to move at anything close to a normal pace. Look, everyone knows you win some elections, you lose some elections. You know, the Republicans had to deal with this when Obama won. They weren't happy about
right.
it, but you don't just, you know, refuse to attend meetings.
Exactly.
You don't boycott the Senate. I mean, this is nuts.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You don't question
the legitimacy of the president when you are part of the system, when you are a senator or a congressman. I mean, how absurd is that? And, we're waiting on the decision of the Ninth Circuit Court. I know that some of the questions and responses raised your eyebrows just a bit, Carrie. So, we'll wait and see on that together. Carrie Severino, Chief Counsel, Policy Director of the Judicial Crisis Network. Thank you, Carrie.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert
expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
Maybe not.